It is morning somewhere, right? And the Bible says the Lord's mercies are new every morning, and they're new all the time. It is morning all the time in my world. So that's why I've always said good morning. It started 20 years ago. Well, praise God. And let's jump in and see what God has for us tonight. As I like to do on Wednesday, since we do start recording right away, two things I want to say to the people that watch online. One, I'm going to share the gospel, but the first thing would be the value, if you can, of being able to make it here on Wednesday nights instead of tuning in. And there are times, and I get that, we like to tune in and we've got things going on, or we just can't quite get there, or we've got maybe health issues or things going on, and so we don't make it in. But when you can make it to the koinonia, when you can make it to the ecclesia, okay, the fellowship in Christ, there's something pretty special that happens, and it's a blessing that you guys are here tonight. I'm so grateful for this. But I like to share the gospel, just to remind you of the simplicity of being able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it be you guys sharing with someone else or someone here still needs a reminder of it, to be reminded of how easy it is and yet how hard it is, I'm going to be honest with you, to be saved. Okay, how easy it is you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and thou shalt be saved. For whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's scripture, that's what it says. It's that simple. The hard part is that you come to the end of yourself to a point where you realize no matter what I do, no matter how hard I try, no matter how good a person I am, it's not going to be good enough without Jesus. And so it's coming to that point. Okay, the scripture says the law is a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. That means the law, if I think of the law, you think of what? Ten little bullet points, right? We call them Ten Commandments. Okay, those are great. It's a great tool if someone needs to come to know Jesus to be able to share with them, look at, you know, here's what the Bible says. Here's the Ten Commandments. And you just go through those, and you'll get to one that says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Okay, and him only shalt thou serve. And you say, who have you been serving? Okay, right there, we all fall into that I'm a sinner category. One sin is enough to keep you out of heaven. One sin. Doesn't matter which one. Okay, and there's over 800 laws, I believe, in the Old Testament. Any of those could have been broken under the Old Covenant. Okay, not just the Ten Commandments, but the breaking of the laws and violating God's way. That's why they did animal sacrifices. They had to sacrifice all the time to make sure they were right. They take it to the priest. The priest would make the offering, shed the blood of an animal, okay, to make you right with God. We had the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us as Christian believers. Okay, and that is how we are saved, by the blood of Jesus. We're saved by the blood of the Lamb. The unblemished Lamb of God was slain so that we could be saved. Okay, that's the gospel in a nutshell, but that's what the law is for, is to lead us to Christ. And then once we come under Christ or under the gospel of Christ, then we're going to fulfill many of those laws anyway, hopefully. That's the plan. And that was God's way, that he would take those laws, and instead of writing them on stone, he would write them on fleshy tables of the heart, the Bible says. Okay, and that's what he's done when we put our faith in Jesus. So it's trusting in the Lamb. So there's the gospel for you. I really appreciate you guys coming out tonight. We're going to start with some prayer, and then we'll jump into God's Word. If you brought a Bible, you're going to want to open it up, because we've got a lot of scriptures we're going to look at tonight. Let the Word teach tonight is kind of the plan, but I want to show you some things that have to do with spiritual, right? And my title would be spiritual versus worldly. Okay, spiritual versus worldly. Okay, and I'll show you where we came up with that. But let's start with some prayer. Father, we press into you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that work that you did on the cross in raising from the dead, taking away the keys from the devil, giving us life, new life, and giving us life eternal, that we can trust in you, rely on what you have done for us for our eternal life and salvation. We've called upon your name, and tonight, Lord, we're opening up your scripture. We're taking it in and allowing you to speak to us through your word, Father, and that is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, yeah, we might have to close the door. Yeah. Not that we're keeping people out, we're just keeping the noise out, so praise God. So we read a scripture this last Sunday that, as I was studying it out previously in the last couple weeks, but then again, even as I read it Sunday morning, something quickened inside of me that it made that scripture stand out as one that, you know what, If we pressed in a little bit deeper into that one passage or that one scripture, and we get an understanding of what it means, we're going to be able to grow spiritually. We're going to be able to further our victory in this life, to be able to accomplish more of what God has called us to do. And that scripture comes in the book of 1 John, chapter 2, and we're going to look at 15 and 16. 1 John 2, 15 and 16. Okay, everybody about there? 1 John chapter 2, and we'll look at 15 and 16. It said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world," or of the world. Okay, that part that says, all that is in the world. Okay, that's what really stands out to me. All that is in the world. Okay, now there's a description. Jesus talks about being in the world, but not of this world. Okay, and so here's one passage. We're going to look at many having to do with the world. Okay, where it says, all that is in the world. Okay, my thought is that if we can recognize what in the world is coming at us, okay, that's a pun, kind of funny. If we can recognize what in the world is coming at us, that we will be better equipped to resist it, okay, to stand against it, and to simply deny its operation in our lives. We can deny what the world is trying to bombard us with if we understand this a little bit better. Look at another scripture. Let's go back a few chapters to Romans, back a few books. Romans chapter 12, the first two verses of that, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good an acceptable and perfect will of God." See, there it is again. This world. It says, be not conformed to this world. Okay? But rather, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay? That word bodies, if you look it up in the Greek, it's an all-encompassing kind of word. Okay? And it means more than just your physical flesh, okay? We tend to think of our body, our physical bone, blood, flesh kind of stuff. But that word bodies means way more than just our physical flesh. It means all of you. It means spirit, soul, and body, okay? It implies every area of your life, okay? Your physical body, your health, your mind, your emotions, your relationships, your finances, your everything. It includes all of you. So we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay? A living sacrifice, in as it was written here, was that which was alive, but on its way to the altar. Okay? Think about this. It was that which is destined for obliteration by fire, as an offering for God. Okay, that was a living sacrifice. It was already picked out, unblemished, perfect lamb, whatever it was, the bullock, whatever, on its way to the altar. That's a living sacrifice. So present your bodies, okay, to do that, to offer your entire being as a living sacrifice is to daily, moment by moment, yield yourself to God as being destined for Him and Him alone. Okay, I think of it as maybe some of you have run marathons. I never have, but if someone's running a marathon, 26 miles or whatever they are, some outrageous amount of miles. Okay, if you're running in a marathon and you get to the end of that 25 and a half, you're almost there, and off in the distance you can see the finish line. At that moment, you are as committed as you can possibly get to reaching that finish line. Okay, at that moment, you have no other purpose, no other focus, but crossing that finish line. That is your destination. You're on your way there. That is living sacrifice. That is, I'm cut out for God, set apart for Him as a living sacrifice for His altar. That's my life. That's the way that I live. And so that means having that sort of a focus in our daily walk, that things of the distractions of this world, we're going to keep looking at that, are not pulling us away from that one goal. I'm a living sacrifice. Every bit of my being is a living sacrifice destined for God and God alone. In order to do that, in order to stay focused and to keep ourselves, we have to do exactly that. Keep ourselves pure, okay, so that we can be offered to a pure and holy God upon His altar, that we are offered to God, okay? And we do that by either avoiding or being cleansed from the contamination of the world, okay? We read a scripture that says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We do that with the Word of God. You don't know that. Word of God transforms our mind. We get old thinking goes out and new thinking comes in, and we begin to process, think differently because of the Word of God. It renews. That old unregenerate mind has got to be refurbished. It's got to be figured out in a new way. Let's look at another scripture in James chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 27. James chapter 1, verse 27. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Okay, to keep himself unspotted from the world. To be unspotted means exactly what you think it does. It means to be without blemish, right? Or you could say, and if you look up the Greek, it means without moral blemish. Okay, without moral blemishes. It means to be without stains, to not be soiled. Okay, to that, it means to be clean. Okay, and you and I know, hopefully by now, that the only way that we are washed clean of our sin against God is by what? The blood of Jesus. Okay, that sacrifice, that unblemished Lamb of God, slain, taken away the sin of the world, right? He was given as an offering unto God, then He rose from the dead, praise God. Okay, so we are washed by the blood, which in Revelation, it actually says that we as believers have been washed and made white as snow by the blood of the Lamb of God. Okay? Washed clean, made right, put in the right spot. That reveals our absolute need and our absolute dependence upon the grace of Jesus Christ, that His blood was shed for us. And it reveals our need to depend on Him to remain unspotted from the world. Okay, to live out the life the way that God wanted us to. In other words, to live it out unblemished. Our part, Jesus did the hard part, right? He did the bearing of His own self on the cross. Our part is to simply realize that the contamination in this world is going to have to actively be resisted against. Right? I mean, He cleanses you, but it's pretty easy to get dirty again. Okay, isn't it? Am I the only one that been through life? You guys living life, right? You guys, everybody breathing? Come on. Okay? So our part is to realize that we have to actively resist against that. Because if we just la 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 la, okay, that's why I say the gospel is easy, but it's also hard because there is a part we play in it. Okay, if it was 100 times 100%, okay, that we didn't have anything to do with it, our life on earth, we would just believe on Jesus and everything would be hunky-dory the rest of our life. Okay, and we wouldn't have all the issues. Okay, but we do because that world is trying to actively come against us. Look at another scripture. After Timothy is the book of Titus. Little book of Titus, and we'll look at 2:11 through 14. Titus 2:11 through 14. Anybody find Titus? Little book with a big message. Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us so that he could redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Okay, the Bible tells us in another place that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came personified in Jesus Christ. And his grace teaches us, according to that scripture, to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Did you know that you can actually deny worldly lusts? It says we can. That means that those wrong desires, those lie-driven motives, that longing for things that are not of God, are all things that you can deny and reject access to your life. Martin Luther coined the expression, "You cannot keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair." The point is that when the lies come flying by, you do not have to invite them in, dwell on them, and share a bitter-tasting meal with them, because that's what they'll bring. You do not have to do that. You can simply say no. You tell them they are not welcome in your temple. You tell them, go find somebody that is ungodly. Go find somebody that is worldly, because I'm too spiritual for you to come in and have dinner with me. Okay? You make the stand. Tell him where you stand. Tell him where he stands. You do not have to let those lies in. I'm talking about lies because the lies that try to take root are the majority of the battle to walk in the Spirit and not walk according to the worldly ways. It is lies. It is lie versus truth. It is lie versus truth. The world versus the Spirit. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life are all based on lies. It's the lies that the devil has been doing from Adam and Eve on up. You can have more. That's not what God said. And he tells something else. He's been doing it since Adam and Eve. This world is full of deception, trying to convince you of things that are not of God, and try to convince you that those things are truth when they're really not. Things like pride, performance-based Christianity, I got to earn my salvation, guilt-based motivation, you better do this or else, inordinate affection, confusion, contention, insecurity, a myriad of other I call them driving worldly forces, are all based on lies. They're things that are pushing you instead of you being led by the Spirit. Okay, that is the push of a lie, the push of the enemy coming at you. To live and walk in the Spirit is to live and walk in the truth. That's why I say it's truth versus lie. Okay, the world is going to lie. Jesus told us that another name for the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. Okay, John chapter 14, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look at John 14, 16, and 17. John 14, 16, and 17. John 14, 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." The world cannot receive the Spirit of Truth because the world is the one full of lies. Okay, the one that is lying, trying to deceive. Okay, the God of this world is running rampant in it. Look another chapter back, John 15, verse 26. John 15, verse 26. He said, "But when the Comforter," capital C, that's the Holy Spirit, "when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me," Jesus, "the way, the truth, and the life." The Holy Spirit of Truth is going to come to testify of the truth to you. Okay? And that's what changes us. Look another chapter back, John 16, verse 13. John 16, 13. It says, "Howbeit when he," the Spirit, capital S, Spirit of Truth, "is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Okay? The Spirit of Truth is going to teach you and show you, reveal to you the truth. He says, he will guide you into all truth. Okay? Remember, all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh, versus all the truth. Okay? There's the contrast. Look at 1 Corinthians, just to ensure, get this down inside. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 12, tell you where you're at in this whole where the Spirit is process. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, "Now we have received," past tense, "not the spirit of the world," because that would be a lying spirit, "but we have received the Spirit which is of God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God." Okay, the Spirit of Truth has been given. And it says, we, believers, have received the Spirit of Truth. Okay, Jesus goes on to tell his disciples in advance about a time that was coming when the Spirit of Truth would be our go-to for understanding the things of God. He already said, "When I go unto the Father, I'll send you a Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. He will reveal, you know, he'll teach you the truth. He'll guide you in the truth." Okay, in John chapter 4, sorry, I should have told you to keep your finger there, but John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Okay? It's in the spirit that the truth and the things of God are revealed to us. Are you putting this together? Okay, it's the things of the world, the lies, the things of the Spirit, the truth, and now we're going to see it is the Spirit within us that reveals truth to us so that we can live out the way that God wants us to. James told us in James chapter 4, you're getting your Bible workout tonight, James chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, he told us that you cannot embrace the lies of the world. Okay, we can't embrace that as truth, or it will cause your heart, or at least part of your heart, I'll say, to be at odds or literally an enemy of God. We don't want to embrace the lies. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Okay, that's you're consuming it based on the lie. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Okay, the truth is that the lies of the world do not have to be our norm. They don't have to be accepted freely by us. We have a choice to make in that. We have been separated, okay? We've been sanctified, we've been set apart by the blood of Jesus, the completed works of Christ. And when we embrace the fact that we're in this world, but we're not of this world, we're different. Jesus made us different. When we do that, the truth begins to manifest more and more and more in our life. We're reading the truth. We're reading the scriptures. We're studying. We're learning of God. We're drawing. We're worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And we begin to live more in the truth. That's how we learn about living and denying ungodliness. That's where we learn about how to live out the life in a way that glorifies Christ. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay? The more we do that, the more we must be understanding. To live in the Spirit means to live in the truth. And the truth is, this is the way God wanted me to live the whole time. Okay, so it's denying some of those other things so that we can live in the right way. I want to show you who we are now. Right, look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Got to get it right. But it's Galatians chapter 1. We'll look at 3, 4, and 5. Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He gave himself for us to deliver us from that world. That is truth. Okay, grab that truth. Look at Ephesians, next book over. Galatians, Ephesians. We'll look at chapter 2 in Ephesians. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 1, read 1, 2, and 3. He's talking about our old condition being now dead to God, okay, that old part of our body. He says, and you has he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, that in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What did I tell you I was going to read? Yeah, that's the right one. That's who we were. Okay, we had our conversation. That word means conduct. Okay, we had our conduct in the times past serving the God of this world, being dictated, run, carnal, beyond carnal, to unregenerate. Okay, but we are no longer that person even more. Move ahead a few chapters or a few books to 2 Peter. After Hebrews and James, get to Peter's. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Actually, we might start with verse 3. I like that one too. Actually, we better start. No, I like a lot of these scriptures. But 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3, it says, "According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Okay, that's a lie, that you need to lust after something. One of the great and precious promises was the gift of the Holy Spirit. It was something Jesus said that he was going to the Father, that he was going to send to us, and then he did just that. The disciples described the power of the Holy Spirit as it came on them, many of you know, in the book of Acts, described it as something that was supernatural, something that clearly took their abilities and their understanding far beyond human ability. Okay? And rightly so. Because that is exactly what it means to be spiritual. Remember, this is spiritual versus worldly. Okay? The world is lying. To be spiritual is to walk in the truth. And we do that by allowing the Holy Spirit to do His part. Go back again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll read 12 through 14. Hey, one of these we've just read, verse 12. It said, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. But the natural man," the one that's devoid of the Spirit, "receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Okay, spiritual things are things that are not of human origin. Okay, that's simple enough to remember. Spiritual things are things that are not of human origin. Okay? They are non-carnal. Okay? Because carnal is humanly, right? So they are things that are non-carnal. Okay? They are beyond human. Okay? They are not of human origin. That word for spiritual in the Greek is the word pneumatikos. Okay? And it comes from the base word is pneuma, which means a breath or a current of air. Okay? It was a supernatural, unseen, spiritual thing. That's what a breath was. People could see, you could feel it, but you can't see it. It's something that goes beyond your understanding of the natural mind. That pneumatikos, I don't know if I say that right, is the opposite of the Greek word for natural and carnal. It is the opposite of the Greek word for humanly, okay, or natural, human, carnal. Okay, that word is psychikos. Okay, think psycho, psych, your mind. Okay, psychos is the sensitive animate instead of inanimate. It is the sensitive animate lower or bestial nature, while pneumatikos or spiritual is the higher or renovated nature. Okay, it is above the human nature. We have been made a spiritual being by the Holy Spirit of God within us. The Bible says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the dwelling place of His power and His Spirit. Okay? And by having His Spirit within us, we are now able to live the life that God made for us, and we live in and according to the Spirit. That's how we can connect with the truth. We can know the truth, and the truth will set us free, right? We can be in the truth. We can walk in it. We can live and abide in it now. It is a way of living beyond the ways of this world. Okay, it is a way that we can now know and live in the truth, live in the way that God intended for us because He empowered us to live this way by His Spirit that dwells within us. Okay, I just encourage you to start being more confident in what happened to you when you were born again. Stand on it. Understand something happened. You're not the same as you were before, so quit living the same as you did before. Okay, some have been Christians for a long time and some have been Christians for a short time. Either way, we step out of what the natural carnal man would have us to live in that way, and we step into the spiritual realm. We did when we got born again. That's the Spirit of God that changed us. Last scripture this morning. 1 John, go back to that. We began there, we're going to end there. 1 John chapter, this time go to chapter 5. Did I tell you we're going to have more scriptures than you could shake a stick at tonight? I forgot to tell you that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 4 and 5. First John chapter 5, verse 4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Okay? A simpler way to say that is everyone that is born of God, everyone that is born again through Christ, everyone that said, "I believe on you and I trust in you," is victorious and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that conquered and overcame the world. It is our consistent, continuing, persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God. Okay, it is ongoing faith. We don't believe in Him once and then live a life how we want. We ongoing believe in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did. We continually get that into us. Who is the one that is victorious and overcomes the world? It's the one who believes and recognizes the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. That's it. Jesus is the truth. Okay, He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Spirit of truth. He is those the very basis for our foundation in the spiritual realm. That's all that it takes to walk in the Spirit is continual belief in the truth of Jesus Christ. The more you think on that, you study that, you believe that, it allows you to live out your life. And you have that. That's the kicker. You have the Spirit of truth within you so that you can do these things. We're not left helpless. We're not left with, you know what, this addiction or this poverty or this temper or this whatever it is not too big. It's not impossible. We've got to get that out of our head that there's just things that have always been that are never going to change. That is not the truth. The truth is that Jesus Christ is real. He's the Son of God. And He came and died and gave His life for you. You believe that? Then you are an overcomer of the world. The world has no victory over you. You have victory over the world. Okay, that's the Spirit of truth, and that's the spiritual nature that we can walk in. God has given us the ability to walk above the lies, to walk above any deception, to walk above the unknowing. We can walk in unknowing because of the Spirit of truth. We can live there and walk there in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray tonight that as we go forth from here, Lord, this is a good to hear message, but we got to take it from here, Father. And I pray that as we go into the world, as we go into the jobs, as we go into the families, as we go into the homes, the supermarket, wherever we go, that we take an understanding of the Spirit of truth with us. That we go into it knowing that we don't have to be dictated by what people are thinking or what the seeds the devil has tried to plant in our life. We don't have to be dictated by the past or the ways he deceived us in the past and the mistakes we've made, but we can live in the truth today and go forward in that truth, just believing, trusting, acknowledging, looking at you as the Son of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as we do, you'll lead us into all truth. You will guide us. You'll put us in the right place at the right time. Things will begin to click in our life like you want them to, Lord. We praise you for it. Take us into this world, Father. Not of this world, but just in it, Lord. Take us into it in a supernatural way where we walk in the Spirit and not according to the ways of this world. Father, we trust you for it. We thank you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, your Son. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen.